Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's call on transforming grief into dispersion for the Daimyo Meridian. And as we settle in for today, I have to also really acknowledge today being the day of solstice. So always a potent day for work to transpire on. It's one of my favorite days for also personal work. So I hope that today's session supports you in all of your solstice activities, whatever that may be, if anything at all. And I'll also take the time ahead of time for anyone who is participating in the holidays this year, just to wish you a happy holidays. And I look forward to next week's call in supporting folks in all the ways, as I know that this time of year can often hold a lot of things for folks. So if you're at all feeling the essences of grief around the holidays and all of that way, I also send my blessings for you all in addition to in today's sessions and all the work that may come up and however it does. So as we settle in, perhaps by means of breathing, every inhale an opportunity to call in. To receive. To drink in life. And every exhale, an opportunity to release. To let go. To make space. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of you enjoys that and finds some pleasantness here, it's even neutral, taking time to savor that. Really be open to drinking that in just even 1% more. Thank you for being here. And thank you for all that you bring to the table and all the ways that you do. And thank you for all that's gone into you just simply being present on earth, never mind here in this call, in this group, in this way, on this day. Thank you to all of your energy that has come before you in the form of your families, your ancestors, and your lineages. And to all that supported you and them, including a big thank you to those who have caretaken and stewarded these lands that have nourished us all and allowed for this existence to simply be as it is. And with all the love and reverence in my heart, thank you for you. Thank you for all of you. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Blessings on your journeys. And as we settle on in, my voice might be just a little bit scratchy. It's been a lot of talking and over the last couple of days and a big weekend of teaching in addition to that. So you may hear just the odd crack or crickle in there. And as we get going with today's session, I'm going to invite you to take a moment to drop inward or to scan outward, looking in particular for anything that's pleasant, to the very least neutral. And as your gaze lands on that thing that's pleasant, to the very least neutral, taking time to notice what it is you like the most about this thing. What does it seem to provide you with? Maybe it's an essence or a reminder of your strength. Maybe it simply appears to be calm, still. Maybe it's vibrant and playful, dynamic and alive. Whatever the qualities may be, noticing them and drinking them in, breathing them in, just a little deeper. And as you savor that in these ways, taking in this nourishment for what it is, thank you for receiving it. Thank you for taking this in. Beginning to notice how the body mind feels as you take it in, as you drink it in. How does the body respond to being present to all those qualities that you liked the most? And if any part of how the body responds is also pleasant, at the very least neutral, taking a moment to savor that too, to drink that in and to feel its embrace. And as you take time to really receive all that's here, breathing that in, potentially with just a little bit of focus and mindfulness in a way that may even offer thankfulness and gratitude. Giving that perhaps 2, 3 breaths of gratitude and thanks. And knowing that you can continue to touch it on this territory at any juncture, and if that means you stay with it throughout the entire session, then feel free. That means you bring this in at some certain juncture throughout the session, or potentially even at the very end. You feel free to support yourself in whatever way feels right with this. And as we begin today's session, we're starting off actually in the energy of the 12th house, which is not surprising given the energy of solstice that's in the room here. And as we work with the 12th house of releasing, ending, surrendering, allowing, how gently can we meet it? How sensually can we meet it? How mindfully can we move towards surrender? And here we're working with a permission statement that surrender is power, that surrender is power. I stand corrected. Surrender is fierce feminine power. Thank goodness I was corrected. Surrender is fierce feminine power. And as we work with it, it's like on the other side of that coin, receptivity is power, is the opposite in a way, but not really quite opposite, but supporting the body mind in working with these two statements simultaneously as if they're two sides of the same coin. Surrender is fierce feminine power. Receptivity is power. And as you drink that in, hydrating all things 12th house, including that liver meridian, which helps to really digest old karma patterns. And this feels almost like an auld lang syne type of thing. Usually that's like next week's session, but maybe we're getting a jump start and letting some things go that need to be let go of because it's grief week. That would make a lot of sense too. And as we work with hydration here, bringing in water and joy to support actually the capacity to also release and let go now. And imagining that as we hydrate the liver and all the old karmic patterns that are ready to let go, that it actually gets to happen in a way that might be a little bit different. What if the energy of grief didn't actually have to always involve steeping in the wailing, steeping in the sobbing, steeping in the activities that we may classically associate with grieving? What if another facet to this that may be just a little bit underutilized at times is the sweet melting into a surrender that gets to happen because it's fueled from a place of heart energy of joy? And as we work with the cleaning out of all things 12th house, including predominantly that liver, also running a body chemistry for it to detox any particular hooks that are holding any sort of sticky bits, pardon me, of those karmic patterns, particularly as it relates to healthy relationships to the opposite gender. Most of you on the call being women, that's likely going to be men. And the opposite gender is specifically coming up on purpose as the balancing of yin and yang, and they're feeling almost like there's this battleground energy coming from a place of toughness and not wanting to show scared energy, not wanting to show vulnerability. So better to dominate or bully, or you get the idea, rather than show any sign of weakness. So here we're running the permissions, and imagine you can say this to all of your little ones that are within you that really need to hear this. It's okay to be scared sometimes. Yeah, it's okay to be scared sometimes. Yeah, and especially offering it to any of those parts of you that like to posture tough or play tough or, nah, that can't get me. Any parts that are used to defending in their own way for really good reasons, as we offer them this opportunity to also take a moment to let their hair down and to rest in the okayness of fear. They actually get to grieve all of those emotions that have been underneath the surface around having to be so tough for so long. And what if that grief energy could just subtly, slowly surrender all of that pain and all of that suffering around the rigidity of having to muscularly posture in all the different ways that you have? Maybe you've held your hips in a certain way, your spine, your shoulders, and the liver helping to govern all of those facets of connective tissue in those ways, contributes to these holding patterns. And in a way, the Dymo meridian becomes like an anchoring point to hold all of those patterns and how you've played tough, tougher than you really felt, because again, you had to be. It wasn't okay to be vulnerable, to be weak, to be seen as someone who might get taken advantage of yet again. So for this and all the holding patterns that are anchoring through the liver and into the Dymo meridian pattern in those themes, running a Sidri, which is going to continue for the next 7 days until we meet again. Sidri standing for C, circulation of all the healing circulation elements, including blood that carries our passion, nerve or communication, lymph that drains those toxins, those gunk, that waste, long, long, long held low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing. I see this as really going to the core here. It's particularly impactful as we're also going to simultaneously run lymphatic circulation, module 5 style, like full body lymphatic drainage for the spine, and in particular the erector spinae muscles that hang on to some of our deeper core wounding, as well as our deeper core character structure and how we've organized ourselves to stay safe and to stay protected. And if anybody identifies in any way, shape, or form with the ideas, I don't always love the label word, empath or sensitive, there is no doubt some part of you that also at some point had to play tough. So welcoming that and allowing for it to be here too. Allowing for it to be felt to the level of the spine, and all that it's held up for you over the years. And as we run lymphatic circulation all the way through this as well, aligning the spine to Mother Earth and to Father Sky, being held in parental love in a way that may not have actually happened in human form, but gets to you energetically now, because you're ready for it now. And as your entire character makeup, your spine is held lovingly by Mother Earth and Father Sky, carrying on with circulation again for that liver, that Daimo, and all the other hooking in points for those tough postures, including chi or vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down into all the little guys, the electrons, the protons, the solitons, the neutrons. Working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor. Endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, lower anxiety, lower depression, help our nervous and our immune system alike to heal. And then here, also circulating the balance of yin and yang, of feminine and masculine, and also hydration, helping again cells to take in that water, that joy, and release any impurities that don't need to be here. Then running defrag, D for defrag, much like a computer defrag or a spring clean, taking out all the clutter that doesn't need to be here. What remains can readily reorganize and utilize for healing. Then all of the R's, reevaluation, recontextualization, and reprioritization. Getting out of rock and hard place type of thinking, opening up to possibilities where it may have seemed like there was none before. Then integration, introspection, shift the underlying consciousness. Perhaps thinking of this as the release, the surrender, the letting go. Then I've never actually circulated a permission statement, but we're actually going to amend the circulation of all the healing resources to also include those permission statements from earlier. Receptivity is power. Surrender is fierce feminine power. Okay. And in essence, I see that it's bringing in the power that's necessary for any tough bits to actually get to fade away, because you're not left powerless. You're not left defenseless. You're actually left in the resiliency of your authentic, natural, inherent power that has always been yours. It's never been missing. Just sometimes we get a little confused as to how to orient to it all. And all of that is collectively linking into all things base chakra, and particularly at the level of the perineum, as well as into the genitals. And I see that actually rooting into the easeful, joyful pleasure as well. I'm getting to simultaneously, as everything is dropping away, also get to stand in what it means to actually receive the nakedness of you underneath all of that tough pleasure, underneath all that tough posturing, to touch in on pleasure again. The toughness may have actually gotten in the way of being able to really deeply receive and drink in pleasure and joy. And that in turn is linking into the energy of sixth house of being in practical service to our bodies and our minds. And then we're linking that all the way through to lung one points, working on that upper outer shoulder and taking in the new beginning energy that it offers. And as it brings in integration in its own way into the new, I see it as, you know, dancing through this cusp of the old and into the new in a way that offers restoration, offering the opportunity to step in the new with even more easeful pleasure. And as we begin the new, the question is what do you want to step into? What do you want to adorn yourself with? What beauty of the world do you wish to really steep yourself into and its qualities? What beauty do you wish to adorn your inner nature with? What beauty do you wish to adorn your outer nature with? Maybe there's no difference. And as you adorn yourself in this beauty, this grace, in a way that becomes almost inseparable from adorning yourself from that which is eternal, that which is God, that which is Source, that which is universe. Expressing that deep, deep divine pleasure that goes far beyond the just stimulation of genitals, but deeply working with pleasure to the point where it actually becomes bliss all the way through the system, unrelated to sexual activity. This is the gift of what genitals offer. And as we drink that juiciness in, drinking it in all the way up to the center of bliss, the septal region. And as we drink its ecstasy, dare I say, in its exquisite ecstasy, all the way up to the septal region of the blissful regions that also provide tremendous healing and vitality. In that space, or in that journey from genitals to septal region, moving through all things heart, that allows for any agitation in the heart to just begin to drop away and settle, like maybe it's okay, maybe there's still good things here in the world. And actually even connect your heart to that resource that you found at the beginning, just to remind it how to drink that in. And then doing so, releasing no small amount of agitation and restlessness type of energy. And a lot of that seems to be hooking into some of the pain stored in the daimyo meridian. Okay, so as genitals and center of bliss are helping to connect and transform the agitation in the heart. There's a little bit more work to be done at the daimyo now. And as we settle into this peace with the daimyo, interesting, we need to connect it first to the pancreas reflex point, spleen 21, to help take in again that sweetness, the joy of life in a different way now. And also to, as it does so, feel that embrace of the universe and integrate all things masculine, feminine. Okay, and this is actually helping to digest some of that fearfulness around men, women stuff that I mentioned earlier. And specifically within that, the fear of vulnerability and being vulnerable and open with each other. And that's playing out, it might be playing out externally as well, but we're working with it focusedly, I think that's a word today, inwardly. And as that masculine feminine balance plays out in its own ways. I see just another little layer of almost like heartache type of agitation drop away from the back of the heart, as well as from the back of the jaws, around the angle of the jaw going up to the TMJ there. And as that drops away, the heart begins to open just a little bit more. And I see the daimyo meridian, for whatever reason, begin to pulse. It's almost dancing in a very specific slow rhythm. I see it begin to connect to, looks like very old, ancient, like tribal rhythms and dances that may have even happened ritualistically on solstice. And particularly, I see it as women. So these are medicine women who have gathered together to unite in a special type of a ceremony, it looks like. And as they're dancing in their own way, in a deeper offering, in a deeper connection to spirit, in a deeper offering to the great goddess, perhaps. Her feet begin to meet the earth in all sorts of new intricate rhythms that may have never even been known before, but get to come through with new, fresh beginnings and a dynamic start as the old gets left behind, the history drops away, so the mystery may be danced into with vigor, with vim, with open arms, open hearts. And open feet to dance and take in the joy that is this earth, the joy that is this life. As the feet dance, I'm inviting you to let your feet dance, to let your toes wiggle, to let your Ankles roll to let the feet soften side to side, front to back, top to bottom, up and down, out to in. Letting them pulse and vibrate in new rhythms that maybe are even unknown in this moment, but get to be born, created anew. And as you dance into your own rhythm, supported by women upon women upon women upon women who have walked these medicinal paths before you get to not only hold your head high as you stand shoulder to shoulder in these realms, you also get to receive what it means to be ministered to for the feminine, its love, its grace, its maternal essence, along with its. All of its faces of the feminine. I see the essence, the healing essences of maiden, of mother, of crone. So what is it to be mothered? What is it to be croned? And although we don't use this word perhaps enough, what is it to be maidens? What is it to be connected with all the faces of the feminine dancing in her sweet essence and beauty? What is it to be invited home to the mother in all of her ways? Through the dance of your feet. Expressing all the way into the hips, all the way into the genitals, the pelvis. And with each foot wiggle, there's enough energy that actually allows for the daimyo to begin to soften its almost, well, dare I say, death grip. Yeah, and as it softens its death grip, it actually gets to digest and take in new things into this digestive system tract, into this belly. Into this sweet space of nurturing, into this sweet space of soft nourishment that this has offered, potentially in many different ways. Perhaps in actual children, perhaps being in a place where you get to birth many things with work, with family, with friends, and all the ways that you mother, and all the ways that you crone, and all the ways that you maiden. And as you offer your sweet feminine essences in the ways that you do, connecting this all the way through into the daimyo in a way that actually softens the daimyo for it too gets to receive the essence and what it means to be mothered and maidened and croned, to be attended to by the feminine, to be offered its sweet grace, its mercy, its love. And as the daimyo surrenders, it learns to actually be able to receive all that the feminine is offering, and also it learns perhaps even what surrender is. And as this energy of grief gets to be transformed gently through the essence of sweet nourishment and love into surrender, we get to learn potentially a new way to grieve and a new way to be. How softly can we be here? And how sweetly can we dance here? In this sweet dance of surrender, where receptivity is power and surrender is fierce feminine power. Little by little, the breath begins to also do much the same work, and that's happening in the daimyo in the belly, but it's doing it at the heart, at the lungs. And imagine that each breath, each air molecule can just so lovingly reach into the deepest, darkest, tenderest of places in those lungs, where those holding patterns of pain, the deep pain, the pain that goes into that territory where it's hard to give voice to. But you know that pain, you know that essence, you know what's deeply held here. Those things that make you long and ache and tremble for what it is you want. And all those things that may have even been stirred up from last week's session around how easy can it be to receive. Yeah, may have put you into touch with a deep ache of what it is you seemingly don't have. And imagine that every breath, can reach into even the darkest of shadows of guarded, protected places. Each air molecule, small enough, soft enough, loving enough to make its way around the most hardened, toughened of walls, around this chest, around this rib cage, around those lung linings, around the heart lining, around the pericardium, all the way into the spaces of the heart and the lungs. Where the dance of joy and sadness and grief continues its rhythm, much in the same way that the medicine women were dancing on the earth. There gets to be this own sort of pulsation and rhythm dancing between the heart and the lungs. Every heartbeat is an opportunity to pause, to stop. It's an act of stillness. The pump myth is just that for the heart, a myth. This is a resting place. It's meant to be a place for the soul to find stillness. The heart will pump and contract in a way that allows for all the blood to just rest in her arms of love. And then go again all the way out. This dance begins to invite in even more air, even more life, even more activity. Because all that's needed is really that split second of rest and pause, and that's enough. That's more than enough. It's nourishment to continue this pulsation of life moving through every single cell. And this sweet little dance between the heart and the lungs powers everything in the entire body minds. What could be more loving than this, I ask? What could be more loving? Linking that all into the energy of the eighth house, the house of death and birth. Perhaps every heartbeats, every contraction, every pause point is an opportunity for surrender, for death in its own way. And every relaxation of the heart, where blood and air flow again, becomes birth, becomes regeneration, becomes restoration, becomes life. What does it mean to live here? What does it mean to come alive here? What does it mean to become inspired? What does it mean to become inspired by the excellence, the mastery of this phenomenal design of love held all within you in so many ways? And then this all sweetly, softly links right on into house 12. House of grief, house of endings, house of releasing in its own way. And here, unhooking a bundle of belief systems around the theme of family, and it may not have provided the same sort of sweet love that Mother Earth and Father Sky have. And as we deal with any potential disillusionments or pain or challenges, and not having necessarily even met and seen and noticed for all that you are in the eyes of your family. What if you could offer yourself that now? What if, through the eyes of your heart, your pelvis, your belly, your genitals, this body in all of its ways, could see you, could see your essence, and hold it more sweetly and more deeply than any other living being could ever be made known to even witness? And as you offer, in a way, the capacity to clearly see and observe your own magnificence, your own glory, helping to repattern that which your parents, your family may not have been able to take in, for they were too stuck in their own limitations, their own pain. If it's there, you could even offer just a little essence of compassion or forgiveness for them being stuck in their ways and knowing that you don't have to uphold that anymore. You're no longer beholden to those old ways of being entrapped. You're no longer beholden to those old ways of being seen. You get to be you. You get to come alive in the dance of your uniqueness, your individual precious snowflakeness of you. No two the same. What's so rare about you and loving all those unique aspects of you in a way that others may not even be able to bear witness to, for how could they? How could they see all those little nooks and crannies at the same time? But perhaps by this simple act of noticing it for ourselves, we begin to be able to witness just a little bit more deeply, lovingly in each other what's also there. Perhaps we just all share a lot of the same stuff between us all. Perhaps by knowing ourselves, we too get to more deeply offer what we've been missing to others. So we can give, receive, and a dance of reciprocity that actually doesn't even seem to have any borders between the two of them. These edges of receiving and giving, it's a blur. It's a blends into sweet potential nothingness or infinity in its own way as it dissolves. And as this little boundary between receiving and giving drops away by means of surrender, by means of grief energy, by means of dispersion, what does it mean to be present as simple essences of nourishment? That is the melting points of giving and receiving. And as we witness all that nourishes in these ways, offering it through to the system wherever it needs it most. And for me, I'm noticing at the lungs, and you may notice it somewhere else, but I see it also going in through the neck for most of us, and dealing with the bottlenecked energies now. Any of those unspoken words, and particularly as it relates to opportunities for connection, whether it's personal, whether it's family, whether it's professional, whether it's friends, whatever the context may be. Unspoken words. Linking this all now through 12th house energy again, surrendering, releasing, allowing, dropping away all that's no longer yours to bottle up. Dropping away all that's not needed to be held here. Perhaps there's been enough holding back for this lifetime, perhaps. And as we work with that, releasing the energy of holding back off of C6, C7 vertebrae on either side of the back of the neck. And with it, a tendency to be a little bit extra hypervigilant or be watching out or be on guard in a way. And without the need to have to watch your back or protect your back, the neck gets to be restored to her natural beauty. In a way, adorning all the different aspects of you back in their natural essences. And then the energy rises now up through the face. And as we head up to the cheeks and the eyes, there's this essence of shame that's here, and as we work with it, releasing shamefacedness. What if this too got to be surrendered and grieved in its own particular way that the daimyo was also somehow anchoring from down below bioenergetically? What if you have nothing to be ashamed for? What if all that you've done and learned from early childhood could have played out in no other way, simply because this is what was given rise to and set in motion lifetimes before you, generations before you. Perhaps there is no other way for this to all play out. And you still get to meet it and greet it and relate to it and deal with it and take action that's healthy with it all, while you simultaneously acknowledge that maybe this wasn't so personal, maybe this wasn't something you did wrong. And as you release the essences of making yourself wrong for having done something or said something or responded in a certain way or defaulted back to that pattern or been a messy human in some way, which is part of what it means to be here on this planet, on this body, in this life, on this earth at this time. Perhaps at all times. Yeah, the essence of shamefacedness just begins to gently fall away. And that settles the last little bit of agitation from the heart, and I see a clear pathway now between genitals and between septal region in a way that actually softens various limbic brain structures, including the cingulate gyrus, the drama queen of the brain, as well as the amygdala complex, which likes to overreact instead of respond to life in its own way. That's thinking into 12th house, into again grief, releasing, surrendering, allowing in its own way. We don't always associate the liver as a organ of detoxification, or pardon me, as an organ of grief and surrendering. We often think of it as an organ of detoxification. And yet, the liver, without having the essence of surrender, would not be able to do 500 medical med oh my gosh, 500 metabolical reactions every single second. It just wouldn't be able to do it. You got to be real relaxed with things in order to be able to do that much activity and be in charge of that many spinning plates simultaneously. Yeah, it's only through means of tremendous surrender and relaxation that the liver actually has the power to do in this way what she does. And she's certainly not alone. She has lots of support in releasing and surrendering and grieving as we work with the lungs, the large intestine, more traditionally through Chinese medicine, through bioenergetics alike. And to support the liver and having really good company with all that she's been processing, and I say she because it's a yin organ, we're actually going to connect her all the way up now to large intestine energy, to lung energy. And I got a lovely little message from someone reminding me of all the like really beautiful points that helped to surrender grief through this. So I'll name some of them. Lung one, which we've been to, which we go to a lot. It's a very powerful point for integration for a lot of things. Also, lung seven and nine on the wrists there, just by the thumb side of things. And those help to do, well, a few different things. And in terms of processing grief and releasing, surrendering, they do all those things. They also might even calm down the flow of blood, qi, in a variety of different ways that can lead to things like supporting your immune system, supporting coughing or breathlessness, and just opening up the lungs and all that they've been releasing for folks. And as we work with large intestine four, also near the wrist there, we're working with a lot of wrist things here. It's also really useful at helping to strengthen immunity. And anytime we like excessively sweat, it can be used, and it also works with, in particular, any of the problems on the face. So as we have been just recently there, I think you can see its particular power. Large intestine four. And as we, I think it's also referred to as like the great eliminator, if I'm not mistaken. And you may have even received this. You may have even worked with it. There's a certain magic to the large intestine 4 points as it hangs out right between that thumb and the large intestine, or pardon me, the thumb and the pita pointer finger, or the large intestine meridian there. And I don't know if you've ever heard of like using massages for this to do a variety of things, including things like headaches or sometimes Instagram posts or things like that. It can tie in a number of different ways. So as I name these, I know that I'm giving them not the service of an explanation that they really do deserve, and that there's so much more to say about each and every one of these magnificent points. And as we integrate the liver through these points, helping to support grief energy and moving evenly through the system now, I almost hear like a wind tunnel opening up, like a whoosh. And in this wind tunnel, it acts almost like a garbage chute, taking away all that no longer needs to be here. I don't live in an apartment, but every once in a while I've been in one, and I'm always fascinated by like, oh, you don't have to take your garbage all the way outside. You just like walk over to this little chute and you pop your garbage in there. That's fascinating how that works. Almost like in homes that have laundry chutes, it's kind of like that same energy. And this wind tunnel has just a little bit of excess anger. It's got a little excess windiness to it. So we're just going to clean out any excess frustration, irritation, and resentment alike through all those different points that I named, the large intestine and the lung points, as we clean up these points. In a way, cleaning up old hungry ghosts of the past that just seem to be never endingly irritated, frustrated, angry about something, never quite satisfied. Linking it through now to again house six, house of practical service, house of small intestine, house of awareness and intellect and discernment. Bringing in healthy judgments, not necessarily like the judgments of like that's right, that's wrong, that's good, that's bad, but the energy of working in a way that supports your system in finding even more harmony. And on the other side of that, also supporting any struggles, particular around willfulness or the need to be right or to be seen as better than or one up in any way, shape, or form. And as that settles and drops away, reminding the body yet again, receptivity is power and surrender is fierce feminine power. And with that, all the windiness in those tunnels of those points begins to calm and settle. And all that irritated energy that seemingly had nowhere to go but just blow around. And it was almost like blowing hot air, that kind of phrasing. But it was not so hot. It was actually like cold anger. That's what I was seeing throughout the system. So it had more of that like icy cold, stagnant, anger type of energy. And on the other side of that, there actually gets to be some new warmth coming in through these points to better support anchoring the release of grief for all of the natural healthy roles that these points do, as well as that of the liver that we worked with earlier. And with this running simultaneously, hydration of the entire spinal column, bringing that water, that joy, releasing again any impurities that don't need to be here. And then we're tapping this all out here. So, invitation to breathe and receive in any way that feels right. And as I tap this out, I see most of the spine drop into a simple, sweet surrender, but there's just a little bit of holding in the tailbone. And then the tailbone. There's this almost like a black orb. It almost reminds me of like an obsidian crystal sitting on the front, the anterior side of the tailbone. It's in like the last two segments, so the very, very tip of that tailbone. And all the qualities that go with the obsidian seem to fit here as well. And it is actually interesting that it's actually like a volcanic glass. It's formed like when lava gets extruded from a volcano, and it becomes like this crystal growth. And all of the qualities that go with it traditionally. And it's interesting, this energy seems to be formed from anger. And yet can heal so very much. So as it helps to, in a way, support new birth, new life on the other side of volcanic eruptions. It actually gets to become, in essence, a almost like a protective piece here that helps to anchor you, that helps to keep you grounded for the good things in this life. The question becomes is can you do without this black orb sitting there? What if there's a way to embody that energy without needing to have the orb there to keep you grounded in the good things in life? What if you just got to naturally be that way? In a way, the darkness, the color of night that obsidian seems to embody, carries all the elements of the rainbow shades in their own way. It's not quite fully black, so it's got quite a bit of melting pool of a variety of colors here. And as we work with the darkness that might be actually useful to pierce the veil of the white lights of truth, of essence, of who it is you may really be. Obsidian can be supportive in helping to really get to the truth of your soul, to shake what's really loose here. I see it as just gently peeling back the layers of potentially even lies that you've told yourself around being ungrounded, or the reason that you aren't so grounded in life is because of X, Y, Z, and all the various different ways that we may have even noted within ourselves that we're a little ungrounded at times. And what if that begins to actually just fall away layer by layer with the weight of this obsidian rock supporting grounding energy until your body mind is available to do it all on its own, in which case this rock is to gently broop, fall away off of the tailbone, allowing for the essence now of that governing vessel 1 point close to the tailbone, the anus side of the perineum there begins to actually rise all the way through the midline of that spinal region and working with all the regulation of the nervous system that it provides and all the essence of protection that it provides. And as the Jumo essentially comes alive and rises, the Daimo begins to release a particular type of frustration of feeling near to tears from needing to work hard to ground, needing to work hard to survive. And it's releasing old stories around others who may not even have the same kind of like talent or qualities that you do, seemingly are more successful with ease. And how come that isn't happening for you? And any other stories in that vein of resentment that get stored here in this way begin to digest. Begin to melt and begin to be grieved, begin to be surrendered. And as those stories gently fade away, I just hear the words whispering now from the tailbone, I know my worth. I know my worth. And as those layers of unworthiness melt away from the tailbone, a new worth gets to be born into, birthed into. This tailbone becomes a rudder to steer your life in a new path, to sail on the sea, if we will, of the adventure of what may be here within. I am enough. I am worthy. And I am worthy enough. And as we step into all of those aspects of self-value, of self-worth, perhaps there's an easier way to receive what you've been looking for that may have been started to be stirred up yesterday or last week's session, I should say, and gets to be really felt today. It's the energy of solstice. It's a magical time. What are you looking at dropping away? What are you looking at stepping into? We revisited that question earlier. Perhaps the answer is the same. Perhaps it's been refined in some way over our journey, noticing it. And linking that all the way through to House 10 for its role in outward self-expression to support manifestation, to support recognition, to support appreciation. in a way, gratefully noticing that it's here now, it gets to be done, that old stuff gets to be done now, it's over. What's here now? What's here now? Looking with fresh eyes, fresh ears. What can we see? What can we hear? What's available that may not have been so visible before? What's here? Look and see, hear and see. Linking that all the way through to house 10 one more time. Again, for its role now in appreciation and recognition, but also into career. How can this support work, working prosperity, working abundance, work in all of its facets, whether it's that 9-to-5 thing, side hustle, the work of being in a relationship, the work of connecting, the work of opening our hearts so deeply to another beloved that it becomes a spiritual path. The work of housework, of homework, of yard work, the work of shoveling. Well, how divinely can it be danced with in all of its forms of work? And with that unwinding connective tissue all the way through the upper pec muscles, which in turn allow for this heart space to open up even with greater ease. Allowing for any chips on your shoulders to melt away. And as soon as they say that, I actually saw the Daimo have like, oh, me too? It's like, yep, you too, Daimo. Any chips on your shoulder also get to melt away. It's like, okay, good. Yay. So any other little grudges that may still be held there gets to also softly drop away. And then we're linking it one more time into those less windy tunnels now that we've addressed them in their own ways. Lung 1, lung 7, lung 9, large intestine 4. And linking this all into the sacrum and the tailbone for rooting, for grounding, for steering our ships in new paths, new sails of adventures awaiting us. And we're tapping here, invitation to breathe and receive. And as we bring this in for a nice soft landing, I've got a song to play, but just before I do, I want to offer you those statements one last time and just see what you hear or notice with them this time. Receptivity is power. Surrender is fierce, feminine power. And this song is called The Ghost in Your Smile. It's by Les Trez. It's about 4 minutes long. I invite you to breathe and receive. For receptivity is power, and surrender is fierce, feminine power. Thank you. quotes around not so much solstice-y stuff and around adornment that's just really sweetly worded that I'd love to share with you all as we bring today's time to a close. It's actually from a man called Joshua Schrey, who runs the Emerald Podcast, which is pretty sweet medicine all in its own right. He says, and this is actually coming from when he was going for a hike into some snowy backcountry and he found a world adorned in frost. He says, spruce needles adorned in frost, branches adorned in needles, trees adorned in branches, mountains adorned in trees, a world adorned in mountains, galaxy adorned in worlds, universe adorned in galaxies, source adorned in universes, mystery adorned in source, consciousness adorned in mystery. Thank you for calling in this medicine, and thank you for your simple, powerful, sweet surrender into all of this work and all of the ways that you do. Happy solstice to you all, my loves. Mwah. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Blessings on your day, your week, your journeys. Bye for now, loves. And if anyone needs any additional.